PayPal is under attack. It's midsummer, the year 2000. Russian hackers are looking for soft targets. These are the early days of web security, and America's banks and e-commerce sites are like unlocked candy shops for hackers. The Russians, in particular, have a real sweet tooth. And PayPal is plenty appealing and easy. And here's how they do it. First, the Russians hack into eBay, where they call email addresses of PayPal customers. Then they grab the PayPal domain name. Of course, the name is taken, but if you tinker with it, well, the hackers use an uppercase I instead of a lowercase L on the word PayPal, for example, and then they just replicate the website and send a message to the email addresses they stole from eBay with a gift, $50. All they have to do is enter their passwords on the bogus site. PayPal customers are used to getting gifts, so they do it. Then the scammers just sit back and harvest email addresses and passwords. CEO Peter Thiel calls in his security chief, Max Levchin.
How bad is it?
Bad. It's costing us $10 million a month.
Credit card companies have good fraud detection, probably because they have so much experience with it. I think they reject something like 0.07% of all credit card transactions. What about our reject rate?
1%, and growing fast.
Thiel does some quick mental calculations and frowns.
At this rate, we could be out of business in 6 months.
What do we do?
Not we. You.
I get it. It takes a Ukrainian to stop a Russian, right?
Yeah, something like that.
PayPal eliminates dodgy accounts, but new ones pop up even faster. It's a game of whack-a-mole, and PayPal is losing. One Russian hacker who goes by the handle Greg Stevenson brags about banks he's penetrated and the big sums of money he's stolen. In one exchange, the hacker makes it personal.
I am not rich. I've got enough to live on, but nothing like Bill Gates, who has much more. I'll let you in on my secret. We assume that most people are legal users. So every time you make a change, I just act in a way that your system thinks I'm a legal user too.
And then he offers to show Levchin how he does it for a price. Levchin hisses at his computer screen.
I'd rather light myself on fire.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. We're looking at the collision between eBay and PayPal, who are racing to take over e-commerce on the quickly developing web. In our last episode, PayPal went viral thanks to its enthusiastic customers who drew in their friends and networks and even do some of the advertising for PayPal. And of course, success breeds competitors. And super success breeds hackers. As eBay works to establish itself as the go-to online marketplace, it's feeling uneasy about PayPal, which it sees as eating into its profits. Meanwhile, PayPal is working tirelessly to fend off Russian hackers, as well as competitors. This is episode 4 of eBay versus PayPal. How bad is it? It's mid-December 1999 at PayPal's headquarters. Luke Nosek, Mr. World Domination Index, he's not doing well, by the way, is hurrying down the hall. Trying to keep up is David Sachs. That's Thiel's chief operating officer.
Damn it. We should have copied all those dot bank features.
They rush past employees grabbing coffee and rubbing the sleep out of their eyes, but they're alert enough to notice Nosek is uptight, maybe even panicked. Something's up, and there's that strange new term they overhear, dot bank. Still chasing Nosek down the hall, a breathless Sachs thinks about that wish that they'd copied all those dot bank features.
Well, we certainly will now.
Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it.
Eric Jackson, a salesman, overhears them. He thinks to himself, whoa, what's going on? He quickly checks his computer to find out what all the fuss is about. He types in dotbank.com.
Oh, God.
Basically, it's PayPal with a sleeker interface and new functions. For one, DotBank allows users to request money from other people by sending them an email link, which doubles as a way to get new users on the service. And it offers something called a group debit option, which allows a group of people to, say, split the bill of a dinner party. Thiel takes it in stride. This is life in Silicon Valley. Too good an idea means copycats. And sometimes, they'll improve on your idea. He calls Levgen into his office.
We need to get the dot bank features online by Christmas.
That's only a week away.
Well, then we'd better get to work.
Dot bank isn't the only threat. In its early days, PayPal shared an office building in downtown Palo Alto with X.com, a company started by the young hotshot entrepreneur Elon Musk. He taught himself computer programming at the age of 12. At the age of 28, he sold his first software company, Zip2, for $340 million. With X.com, Musk wants to create a one-stop shop for online banking services. Users can store cash with his company, and they can also use it as a platform to manage investments. The very future Thiel envisioned. Then, PayPal gets some shocking news. Musk's company is moving into the online transactions market, too. Thiel views this move as a threat to his company. As PayPal president, Reid Hoffman has been tracking these developments closely. He calls in Thiel to break the news.
They're expanding on our services, too.
Tell me what you know.
They added an email link to make signing up new users for the site even easier.
And what about our double referral fee?
X.com does the same.
So PayPal does the only sensible thing. It copies them. DotBank makes requesting money easy. So does PayPal. X.com adds an email referral link. Well, so does PayPal. At this rate, none of them can get an advantage over the other. All are spending furiously to attract new customers. Thiel is adamant that PayPal's success depends almost entirely on cornering the market, which means signing up the most people the fastest. He calls the marketing and sales team into his office. Jackson has by this time sent out a digital mailer recruiting new users, and it's gotten some traction. Thiel wants to double down.
How quickly can you spend $1 million?
Jackson stammers. He's a young employee not used to such responsibilities.
Each email costs only a few cents.
Thiel smiles.
How about 2 weeks?
Jackson looks for groups to seed with PayPal email inducements. He targets eBay customers who've already proven they'll respond to referral incentives. The engineering team works out technology to automatically insert PayPal's logo without even asking them on eBay users' pages. These gambits work. By the end of January 2000, PayPal reaches 100,000 users. DotBank, slow to realize that eBay is the place to be, falls behind. It will eventually fail. But there's still X.com to contend with. X.com changes its messaging from emphasizing banking to emphasizing transactions. That means it is targeting PayPal directly now, and it ups the ante. It will pay new users $30 just to sign up. Both startups are burning through their precious capital reserves. Thiel realizes the first one to get to an initial public offering will win, and Musk and X.com are further along that road than PayPal. Musk also has a bigger pile of money. Thiel knows what he has to do. He swallows his pride and dials Musk's number.
Elon, we should talk.
Rather than race each other into bankruptcy, X.com and PayPal merge in March 2000. It turns out to be a timely union, enabling the company to weather the dot-com crash that will eventually destroy most of their competitors. X.com has more users at the time and a quicker growth rate. Given the cash infusion, Thiel is happy to step aside to let Elon Musk become CEO of the new company. He takes over as chief financial officer and heads to the equity markets to raise even more money. Levchin is the chief technological officer. There's grumbling around both offices about working alongside former rivals. Musk throws gas on that fire by focusing on the X.com side of the brand, not even mentioning PayPal during his first speech to the combined workforce. With the crew gathered in an office building eating pizza and meeting their new executive team, Musk looks out at the uneasy bunch. X.com and PayPal employees have drifted to opposite sides of the room.
X.com will soon be the world's most trafficked URL. X-PayPal and X-Finance will be household names.
The prefix X-PayPal makes former PayPal employees grimace. Musk is a headstrong leader. Levchin especially finds his style disagreeable. Born and raised in South Africa, Musk spent his early years without his parents around much, tinkering and entertaining himself. His mother is a model and dietitian. His father, a brilliant engineer who made a fortune selling precious gemstones. As a father, though, the elder Musk treated his children cruelly, something that shaped their lives. In an interview with Rolling Stone, Musk trembled as he described his father as evil.
Almost every crime you can possibly think of, he has done. Almost every evil thing you could possibly think of, he has done. It's so terrible, you can't believe it.
At 17, Musk moved to Canada for school, partially paying his way through with a series of odd jobs, cleaning a lumber mill's boiler room, tending a vegetable garden, sawing lumber. This history gives him an everyman streak that he deploys readily in shaping his public persona. Down the line, Musk will become one of the world's most famous businessmen, a prickly visionary working to colonize Mars. But at this moment, he's just a young entrepreneur, a straightforward public speaker with a baby face and a confident devotion to the X.com brand. After the merger, X.com ends its $20 referral fee, and PayPal slices its own to just $5. The effect on X.com is immediate. Once it stops bribing customers, its growth stalls. PayPal, though, continues growing, and at a frantic pace. The combined company is healthy. By March 2000, with the company's merger complete, PayPal's service is blowing well past a million users. That growth remains expensive. Thiel heads to the capital markets to raise an additional $100 million in funds. But beneath the happy public facade and the easy cash, bad blood continues to boil internally. The two companies
really never do merge, at least in spirit. They operate as two separate fiefdoms, with hostility playing out in their now combined office space. These frictions don't just occur with a rank and file. It runs all the way up the combined startup's totem pole. Teal learns that another X.com executive has donated $25,000 of company money to the Democratic Party. To the libertarian Teal, this is intolerable. After raising $100 million for PayPal, Teal has had it. Employees receive a radioactive email from him. Effective today, I am resigning as executive vice president of X.com. After 17 months of working literally day and night, I am simply exhausted. The recent $100 million financing round seemed like a natural point of closure for my day-to-day involvement, and like a good point to transition to those who will lead X.com's IPO. PayPal loyalists are devastated. They know something's gone wrong, but they must move on. The company is still signing 500,000 new accounts a month and climbing, but it continues to hemorrhage money, too. Users swarm the website, which becomes glitchy, and customer service can't handle the deluge of calls. It gets so bad that employees can't even get an outside line. Even more troubling than the sign-up fees is the problem of fraud. But Thiel's replacement, Elon Musk, is hell-bent on growth and presentation. Levchin tries to convince Musk that scam protection must be the company's top priority. He needs help. But Musk is unmoved. If we don't revamp our back end, we won't even have any customers to defraud.
We are bleeding ourselves dry. This is an extinction-level event if we don't get fraud under control.
They silently glare at each other.
That's not where our focus needs to be right now.
Levchin realizes he's going to have to do this on his own. Millions of dollars are being siphoned away, and there is that particular hacker who seems to be in this for more than just the money. He takes pleasure in frustrating Levchin. Levchin is frightened by the rate of fraud, which is rising at an alarming pace. Right now, it eats up about 1% of company revenue. When Levchin charts out its growth, however, he sees that left unchecked, it will grow to 5% of company revenue, then 10%. If PayPal can't stop them, the company will crash and burn.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
In the middle of 2000, one criminal ring steals nearly $6 million over a four-month period by creating a robotic software script to automatically open thousands of PayPal accounts at a time. It scoops up filched credit card numbers and sends payments through layers of fraudulent accounts, making it virtually impossible to trace. At the end of this chain is someone posing as a user who withdraws the money. The hackers already know that PayPal's security is looking for large transactions, so by automatically signing up multiple accounts and moving small amounts of money around that can easily avoid detection, it's death by a thousand cuts for PayPal. With fraud at its peak, some credit card companies consider cutting their ties with PayPal entirely. Right now, though, Levchin is focused on Greg Stevenson, the nom du hack of the Russian criminal. He's crowing about his exploits in emails to Levchin and his staff. When PayPal shuts down several of his accounts, he boasts,
"You think you got me? Watch this."
Levchin's stomach churns as thousands of additional fake accounts open in hours. Every time Levchin's team shuts down Stevenson accounts, the Russian concocts a remedy. Levchin's challenge is to snuff out bot-generated fake accounts without squeezing PayPal's viral growth. Finally, he and engineer David Gosbeck come up with a devilishly simple way to know if it's a robot or a person trying to set up an account. Before a user can confirm an account, he or she will have to identify wiggly or hazy letters that pop up. A person could decipher these letters, but not a computer. Now, they just have to implement this step. Levchin starts coding on a Friday night and, working nonstop, finishes it Monday morning. He looks admiringly at his code.
"Try and stop this."
It's not long before Levchin receives an angry email. Stevenson curses him for taking away his livelihood. Levchin smiles, then writes back,
"I have a great job for you, which involves wearing an orange-colored jumpsuit."
Still, Levchin is only half done. He has found a way to prevent crime rings from faking accounts on a large scale. That's a major achievement. But he needs to stop criminals already inside PayPal's system. Levchin has an idea after sifting through legitimate and known illegitimate financial transfers. His eyes light up. He calls his fellow coders into a meeting. He draws identical geometric shapes next to each other on a whiteboard. His crew waits for his explanation.
"If you reduce fraud to essentially a picture, this is what it looks like."
His fellow scambusters nod, though they're not entirely sure what he's getting at.
"Symmetry turns out to be a fantastic predictor of whether something is fraud or not. If you know what symmetry you're looking for, you can basically reduce investigation time from several days per scam to several seconds."
It's not sinking in yet.
"Okay, look, we already know if an account regularly receives payments close to the maximum, this will automatically trigger further investigation, right? So will mismatches between a payment zip code and the zip code connected to an account. These are the obvious tip-offs."
Then he gets to the crux. He draws more mirror images of shapes.
"But what if the same amount enters an account and then the exact same amount goes to another account?"
Those who are getting it are starting to nod.
"Now, if it goes to a third account, and so on, well, that, friends, that is a big red flag. If a flurry of accounts open up in the span of seconds, you've hit pay dirt. Now, we've cooked lots more of these indicators into our algorithms, but that's super top secret stuff. If I told you about them, I'd have to kill you. Just kidding."
They're not so sure he's kidding.
"Bottom line, computers do things symmetrically. Humans don't. That's how we nail them."
Not always, though. Another Russian nemesis, who goes by the name of Igor, has been plumbing PayPal's network. Levchin and his crew never catch Igor, but in pursuing him, they create an algorithm that freezes questionable accounts. They name it after Igor in his honor. Of all the illicit transactions PayPal registers, 75% arise from bogus credit cards. The remainder is merchant fraud.
After Levchin unleashes Igor, credit card fraud drops to less than 1%. Igor himself is never heard from again. Levchin's program pulls PayPal from the brink of ruin. In fighting to save their hides, Levchin and Gosbeck create a major fixture of the web thereafter, familiar to future web users as CAPTCHA. But things never stay calm for long in the PayPal offices. While they vanquish their external nemesis, internal battles remain. Musk was, Levchin thinks, far off base throughout the fight against fraud, and he is too focused on X.com at the expense of PayPal. Meanwhile, eBay, alarmed by PayPal's growth, is scheming on how to squash PayPal so it can take control of the payment side of its site. But before PayPal can fight that larger battle, the simmering embers between X.com and PayPal will become a bonfire. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Business Wars. And a quick note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Adam Pennenberg wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior editor. Jenny Lauer is our producer. Sound design by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producer is Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.